This is Worship First Podcast with Reverend Eleanor Colvin, pastor of First United Methodist Church in College Station, Texas. We thank you for joining us today and hope that this message inspires you. And remember, God is with you wherever you go. Please join us for a word of prayer.
We come before you in prayer right now, Lord God, just to give you honor, just to give you glory, just to give you praise, Lord God, because you're worthy, not because we need something, not because we're in search of anything today, because we don't seek anything right now but your face, oh God. We don't seek anything right now but to be near to you, oh God. Draw us nearer, Lord, to that precious bleeding side. God, remind us this day of the gift of the resurrected Christ at work among us, at work in us. Remind us, oh God, of the gift this day of your Holy Spirit that falls every day, but especially we honor it, we celebrate it on this Pentecost Sunday. God, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Spirit of the living God, let your fresh wind blow through this place and get us moving in your name. Let your fresh fire fall in this place, oh God, and burn away everything that is not like you, and kindle the spark of everything that is like you in us, so that we might go forward in this your work and do your work. God, we pray that this worship today is holy in your sight. that it's pleasing in your sight, that it might lead us to lead someone to ask the question, what must I do to be saved? That it might lead someone to ask, how can I know that Holy Ghost power? Bless, Lord God. Have your way in this worship today so that we might do your work in the world. God, forgive us for the ways that we have fallen short. Forgive us of our sins, oh God. Bless all those who stand in need, any need this day. Bless our members who are ill. Bless our members who are grieving. Bless our members who are struggling in any way, oh God. Bless like only you can. Let your spirit fall fresh in this place. It's in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus the Christ that we pray. Amen. Amen.
We serve a generous and giving God, so don't forget to worship through your giving. You can give online by visiting firstcollegestation.org and clicking on the Giving tab. Remember FIRST as in the number ST. The ability to give is as close as your smartphone when you text GIVE to 979-399-8303 or download the Ministry One app. Don't forget, you can still give using the QR code on the bulletin online or mail your checks to the church at 1125 Welburn Road, College Station, Texas 77840. Thank you for your generosity.
The Bible says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Now let's join Pastor Colvin as she explores this topic further.
This word comes from Acts, the second chapter, beginning with the first verse. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Let us pray. Awesome God, we thank you for the gift of your word. We thank you for the gift of your Spirit, oh God. Let it fall fresh in this place. Let this message help us to say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. Help this message teach us to obey when your Spirit speaks to us. Yeah, yeah. And now, oh God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart is acceptable and pleasing in your sight. It's in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. Friends, by now you should know that your pastor loves Law and Order. But what you may not know is that after some intense devotion to the show, just during this pandemic season, I haven't been watching all 20 years, but just intense devotion in pandemic, I've already pretty much seen all the episodes that they're running on cable. So some days I tune in and then I quickly tune out thinking I've seen this one before. I know how this story goes. Friends, in the same way, there are some of us who come to a familiar passage in the Bible, like this Acts 2 text. We come to familiar scripture that we may have heard our whole lives, and we think, I've heard this one before. I know how this story goes. So we hear the Acts 2 passage read, but we don't hear the Spirit speak. Amen. We hear the words, but the wind of God does not move us. It's an old story, and yet God is doing a brand new thing. And if we're not careful, church, we could miss it. Some folks missed it on the day of Pentecost. You can be sure not everyone was in the room that day. Not everyone got clothed with power from on high, as Jesus had promised. Not everyone went out empowered by the Spirit. We know some folks missed it because it was 9 o'clock in the morning. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen to all my night owls. Amen to everybody that's always a little late wherever we go. So we know some people missed it because it was at 9 a.m. These Spirit-filled worshipers were accused of being drunk, and Peter responds, "This is too early for all that. It's just not." So we can be sure that on the day of Pentecost, the day that the Holy Spirit rested like tongues of fire, some folks were resting, not worshiping. You know how it is. It was their one day to sleep in. Amen. On the day the Comforter came, some folks missed getting their gifts because they'd heard the story before, because they went to church last Sunday, so they know how it goes. Or at least how it was supposed to go. Some of them might have been like me. They might have tuned in and tuned out real quick. When the Spirit fell among the disciples in Acts 2, Peter was preaching a familiar word. A familiar word, but a message that had not yet manifested. So some people were tired of hearing it because they're waiting on the power of the Spirit. They're waiting on the Holy Ghost. They're still waiting on their blessing. Some folks were tired, and if not tired, they were too sure of how the story goes. This wasn't the first time Peter had talked about the Holy Spirit. It certainly wasn't the first time the disciples had heard of the Spirit. Jesus had spoken about the promised gift, the coming helper, the eternal advocate and teacher time and time again. In John 14, Jesus said it to us this way: I will send you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. I don't know if somebody needs help today, but that was the word of our Lord. I'll send you another advocate, because I've already stood in the gap for you and advocated for you. I've already taught you the ways of God. You get another advocate, because I've already talked the talk and walked the walk before you. I've already prayed for you so that the enemy's attacks against you would come to nothing. Jesus says, the advocate, the Father whom I will send, the advocate whom the Father, that's how you know it's good news.
All right.
The enemy doesn't even want it to come out. That's how you know it's a good thing. Jesus says, the advocate whom the Father will send will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have taught you.
Yeah.
He tells us in John 16, when the Spirit of truth comes, it will guide you in all truth. I don't know if anyone is feeling lost today and could use a little guidance. So Peter was up preaching about that truth again that Jesus had talked about, preaching about that Spirit again. And he took his text from Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will drink dreams. They'd heard this one before. They knew how the story was supposed to go, but they had no idea that they were the congregation upon whom that Spirit would fall fresh. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I'll pour out my Spirit.
Yeah.
They heard it before. They thought they knew how the sermon would end, but on that day, 50 days after Jesus got up from the grave with all power in his hands, all power fell from on high on each of them. Finally, the word that they had been waiting on came true. I don't know. I don't know what promise of God you've been waiting on. I don't know if it's been 50 days, 350 days, but the promise will come true, and I promise you, you don't know how this story ends. Some of them had gathered in worship that day, thinking they would come and go from the temple like they do every year for that festival. And somebody may have gathered here today thinking you'll come and go from Wellborn Road. You'll come and go from your couch or your kitchen table like you do every week. And I wonder, do you expect the Spirit to fall today? I wonder if you expect the Spirit to show up in worship and surprise you today and bless you today. Not just the Spirit that makes some of us cry or shout or dance. I'm talking about the Spirit that makes us different. The Spirit that makes us disciples, as the song we said earlier, picks us up, turns us around, places our feet on solid ground. Do you expect the Spirit to make you different today? Friends, I wonder, do we position ourselves in the right place with the right people to encourage a move of God? That was Acts 2, verse 1, that they were all in the same place at the same time, in the same frame of mind. They were all praying when the Spirit fell on them. I wonder, what is the prayer of your heart today? I wonder if you're trying to carry that burden by yourself, or if you shared it with a brother or sister so that we might be united in prayer, in spirit, praying for you, praying for the church, praying for the world. The psalmist says God inhabits the praise of God's people. I wonder if we've set an atmosphere, a welcome space for God today. I wonder if we prepared a place for the Spirit of the living God who desires to live in us. When I think about preparing a place, I'm reminded that the Lord told me this week, you don't get still enough. You don't get still enough. Some of you know I attended a conference this week, and I stayed near the beach, and during one of my walks, God said, you don't slow down enough. You don't slow down enough for the waves of my grace to wash over you. What if the disciples and all the Jews from throughout the region had not gathered together, had not waited, slowed down enough and waited for the Spirit? It had been 50 days and these folks killed your teacher. 50 days and we don't know what all is going on in the streets around them, but Jesus said, wait. What if they hadn't slowed down enough and waited for the Spirit? What happens when you and I don't gather, don't slow down enough and wait for the Spirit? What happens when we go out before we are clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit? What happens when we go out simply in our strength alone? Friends, what could we do to get in position to be surprised by the Spirit? What would need to happen for you to leave worship entirely different? Because someone may have gathered today thinking you'll come and go from church, thinking you'll come and go from your laptop like you do every week. But the good news is the presence of the Lord is here. The good news is the Spirit is calling fresh today. But if you think you already know how this one goes, you might miss it. The psalmist Tasha Cobbs Leonard says it this way: let your glory fall. We are carriers of your glory. So do what you want. When you move, that's when we'll move, God. Throw away our agendas. Lay aside our pride. We have a heart of repentance, she says. We are moving out of the way. Let your glory fall. We are carriers of your glory. Friends, we've never seen this one before. You and I have never had to be the church carry God's glory in the midst of a global pandemic. We've never seen this. It's different. Amen. It's going to require different things of us. Amen. As disciples, as the people of God who are gathered and sent. The gathering for worship is only one piece of it. Gathered to worship God and be formed by God so that we might be sent by God into the world to serve God and neighbor. Friends, we have to constantly receive the gift of the Spirit that empowered them to speak in tongues, the text says. And yes, we're talking about speaking in tongues, that private prayer language, but in this text, it also means that they could understand each other. It wasn't just about how they talked to God, but it was how they communicated with one another. They could understand each other. The Spirit gave them the ability to speak to one another, even though they were from North Bryan and South College Station, from College Hills and McCullough and Billiken, big cities and small towns. They could understand each other, even though they were wealthy, some of them, and others without many resources, even though they had formal education, more degrees than you could count on a finger, and others were wise in the ways of the world. The Spirit enabled them to understand each other, to be united, to know one another's needs and gifts, and then empowered them to work together. Pentecost is about unity, not uniformity.
All right.
Unity so that we might be sent to do God's work in the world. Like them, we are the gathered and sent people of God. And I stop by to tell you that we are in the midst of a fresh encounter with the Holy Spirit today. And friends, we don't know how this one goes. I've never witnessed God's glory falling in the midst of a worldwide pandemic and plague. We've read about it. And yet God is moving and blessing and healing, restoring and redeeming still. And the good news is God is using us to move and bless and heal and redeem. No, we don't know how this one goes. And that's why we've been promised a guide, a teacher who will teach us what's right now in this season. A teacher who will lead us in the way of truth. Friends, are we open to the Spirit's teaching? Can we be guided today? Have we thrown away our agendas? Y'all, that beach house we stayed in reminded me of our need to be open to a fresh move of the Spirit. On our first day there, I noticed that three-story house was moving. I didn't say anything because I thought I was the only one feeling it. But that's a whole other sermon. You're not the only one. Remind me to preach that some other time. You're not the only one. They say most new construction beach houses are designed to better withstand hurricanes. They are designed to withstand the mighty rushing winds. And so the architecture includes a joint system that will hold everything fast together. It'll anchor it. And at the same time, it allows for flexibility. It holds it steady and it stays flexible. Can you imagine being anchored in God's grace?
Yes.
Held steady by God's peace.
Yeah.
And still flexible enough to move when and where and how the Holy Spirit says move. As that strong but flexible house rocked and swayed that first day just gently. I thought it was just me, but then we started talking about it and we realized we were all experiencing it. Friends, I don't know if you know what it's like that in the church sometimes. We think we're the only ones struggling to see the resurrected Christ at work. We think we're the only ones feeling restless, feeling anxious, waiting for the gift of the Spirit. We think we're the only ones wondering if we can take one more faith step. And then we get together in one place, at one time, in the same frame of mind with all the other disciples, and the Spirit begins to speak in words, and in smiles, and in sunrises, songs. The Spirit begins to speak a word of comfort, a word of challenge. The Spirit begins to speak a word of hope with some footnotes, some reminders of our whole homework. Because there is homework. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I'll pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Our holy homework, see the vision. Dream the dream.
Yeah.
Speak the prophecy. Speak the word of God. Yo, we have work to do. Last week, we were told to stop gazing up at the sky and to get to work. Witnessing is our holy homework. It's not optional. It's not the extra credit. The task of working for the kingdom is our holy homework. It was a joy to serve alongside the youth and adults at the food bank yesterday. Early on a Saturday, when they could have been doing their own thing, they chose to do something in the name of Jesus. They chose to do something empowered by the Spirit. They chose to do something that would glorify God. And one child asked, is this like a job? And I said, it is. But it's a job that we do for God. Friends, it's a job we do for God so that God's children will feel loved, will feel cared for. The Spirit of the Lord is here. There's fresh fire to get us excited. As Ashley sang in the song, We don't sing like we used to. We don't pray like we used to. We don't serve like we used to. But there's fresh fire today so that we might serve. Get excited about that again. There's fresh wind to move us into service. Yes. Discipleship is like a job, but we don't get paid, we get blessed.
Amen.
And then we get challenged to share those blessings with others.
Yes.
It is like a job, but we don't ever clock out. The old hymn says, but I'm on the battlefield for my Lord, and I promised him that I would serve him till I die. We don't clock out. It is like a job, but we don't get credit for doing it. All the glory belongs to God. So let your glory fall, Lord God. We are carriers of your glory. You may have thought you heard this one before, but God is doing a new thing. God is writing a new story for the church by the power of the Spirit. Friends, I wonder, what would Holy Ghost wind and fire like to kindle, like to inspire among us today? What would Holy Ghost wind and fire desire to burn away, push away, move out of our way today? Because the inbreaking of the Spirit, which is falling fresh even now, the inbreaking of the Spirit changes everything. It was possible that this time last week, you couldn't see how you do the work Christ was calling you to do. When that pastor said, keep moving, keep going, you might not have understood what God was calling you to do or how you were going to get it done. But this week, the power of the Holy Ghost has fallen fresh in your life. This week, a fresh wind of God's Spirit is moving through the places where your discipleship needs a little refreshing. This week, the fire of God is upon you. That it's not just resting on you, it is moving you. So what will you do with your gift of the Holy Spirit? Because we have to remember, Pentecost wasn't a private Holy Ghost party for the spiritual elite. Pentecost was that moment of change that enabled them to take the gospel of Jesus Christ into the streets. That's the meaning of Pentecost, not just leaving that fire here, but harnessing our fire, being moved, inspired by wind and spirit to change the world. Friends, you don't know how this is, because we are just getting started. Pentecost isn't just a day, it's a way of life for my track runners. Pentecost is like that gunshot that starts the race. It's just the beginning. And if we want to be able to say one day, I fought the good fight, I finished my course, my race, then we have to allow the fire of Pentecost to light our way and ignite a passion for God's purposes. We must allow the wind of the Spirit to move us to make a difference in the world. Friends, if you are not a track star, you're not a track star, but you are at least an outdoor walker or jogger or cyclist, and you know how much more ground you can cover with the wind at your back, with the wind pushing you forward. And the same is true for us people of faith, with the Spirit interceding for us, as Romans 8 and 27 tells us, then we truly can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So don't tune in and tune out today. I know you've heard this one before, but I promise you don't know how the story ends. For no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has in store for those who love him. So let the Spirit speak today. Let the wind move you today. May God's glory fall in surprising ways.
Yes.
And and they carry the glory of God, the spirit of Pentecost, into the world all the days of your life. In the name of the Father, the Son,
friends, would you take a moment to pray about how God has spoken to you through this message? Seeds have been planted today. God's word does not return void. It goes out and produces fruit. It accomplishes the purposes for which it was sent. Take time to pray about how God is sending you today.
Thank you for joining us. Special thanks to those who support this ministry with their time, talent, and gifts. If you enjoy this podcast, you can subscribe, share with friends, and on your social media stories. Don't forget to tag us at First United Methodist Church, College Station. Peace and God bless.